13. All right, Proverbs chapter 13. Let's go down to verse 9 is where we stopped last time. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 9. Proverbs 13:9. The light of the righteous rejoiceth, but the lamp of the wicked shall be put out. The light of the righteous rejoiceth. So light rejoices. Jesus Christ, the light of the world, He's a person. That light rejoices. The Word of God is a lamp unto my feet. The Word of God is alive. That light rejoices. God is light, and in Him is no darkness. That light rejoices. Verse 9, the light of the righteous rejoiceth, but the lamp of the wicked shall be put out. Now again, lots of quick changes here. Kind of a staccato machine gun type thing sometimes in Proverbs where, each phrase is just kind of packed with something different. In verse 10, you have quite a statement. It says, only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Okay, only by pride cometh contention. Notice chapter 11, verse 2, there's something else that comes by pride. When pride cometh, then cometh shame. But a just weight is his delight. With the lowly is wisdom. When pride cometh, then cometh shame. So by pride cometh contention, and with pride cometh shame. There's something else here you should take note of over in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18. Proverbs 16, 18. And everybody's familiar with the verse, I know. It says, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. So pride is a big problem, isn't it? Pride was the devil's first problem. Pride has certainly kept many a man, many a woman from getting right with the Lord. Pride was Pharaoh's problem. Pride was Esau's problem. Pride was Cain's problem. And on right on down the line, it says there that only by pride cometh contention. Well, contention is a problem. And so a lot of times in our lives what happens is, we wind up, when you get around the Bible, what happens is you wind up in contentious situations because the Bible goes against man's natural inclinations. We're sinners, right? We're transgressors by nature, and left to ourselves and the course of nature, we'll do wrong. And so the Bible corrects us. But that obviously is a contentious situation. So, what happens here? Who's got the pride? Now, what will be accused sometimes is that the aggressor, the Word of God, somebody preaching the Word of God, or somebody coming to someone with the Word of God in hand saying, look, this is wrong. Sometimes they're accused of being contentious, of starting trouble. I mean, for as long as Bible believers have been Bible believers, we have been accused of causing the trouble. The real question is that the way this works? Notice a few verses here along the way, and we'll get around to that question here in a little bit. Go over to chapter 17, verse 14 for just a second. Then I'll look at contention for just a second. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 14. Contention is a problem. Everybody should understand that, when human nature is dealt with by the Spirit of God, by the Word of God, there's always the possibility of this huge rift. And many of you have experienced that rift in your own family, a lot of times with folks that aren't saved in your family, other times folks that are saved but aren't really interested in doing right, aren't really interested in the brand of Christianity that you've gotten involved with as far as just Bible teaching and Bible preaching. And so contention is a major issue. Look at chapter 17, verse 14, where it says, the beginning of strife is as one letteth out water. Therefore, leave off contention before it be meddled with. If you you know, look at that. There's a way of applying that where you say, see, so you shouldn't cause, you should never speak up. You want to make sure that you don't contend with anybody. And yet, you know, folks, you know that that's not true because we're supposed to earnestly contend for the faith, right? Look at another passage here. Look in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 19. Proverbs 18, 19. We'll get to a couple of questions here for just a second. And again, these are painful things to deal with sometimes because there are times that what's right and wrong and what's reproved, admonished, and exhorted in the Bible separates very friends if pride is involved. Now, folks, don't get me wrong. There's certainly a way for a Bible believer to conduct himself, a preacher or a witness, you know, where it is all pride, and he goes and nails somebody to the wall, not in charity, not in love, not in out of concern or anything else. That's certainly possible. I believe that I know some folks that have operated out of pride. I got something this week. It's amazing who sends you emails. And this guy, I don't know this guy as far as personally, but his email started out, "There are many false prophets gone out into the world." And in 1 John, 4:2, every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And so he demanded that I confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. And he went on to say, and don't say he was come in the flesh or anything else. You have to say the King James wording exactly. And not replying is a non-confession. Now, this guy's apparently an internet troll, you know, again, just looking for trouble, right? And maybe out of innocence, maybe he's naive or whatever, but he expects me to confess to him that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, which I certainly believe. But my question, and I never replied because I know that replying is just going to open up this humongous can of worms. Because here's the deal. Folks, do you think that somebody could say those words without meaning them? So saying them doesn't mean anything. Right? So, again, I know that there are folks like that who are just out for contention's sake. I understand that. But let's see here a little bit more. What did I say? Proverbs 18:19. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle. So if you can keep from offending a brother, that's good and that's right. Anybody that's been in the biblical battle for very long understands that there comes a critical point in friendships and so on, where, you know, somebody needs to say something with the right spirit, and if he does it without pride, there's somebody on the other end that needs to receive what he has to say without pride. And if it's without pride, things will be okay. But a brother that's offended is harder to be won than a strong city. Right? Look at just a couple more here, and we'll get to a couple of answers. Look in chapter 22, verse 10. Proverbs 22:10, there are certainly times when trouble is just caused by troublemakers, where somebody is just out to fight and contend, to be aggressive, to be pugnacious, and in general to fight. Everybody knows somebody who would argue with a fence post, right? And if you say the sky is blue, it is not. You know, it's a dark something or another, whatever. A dark shade of blue. And so everybody understands that. But Proverbs chapter 22, verse 10, cast out the scorner and contention shall go out. Now it says that pride cometh, that with pride cometh contention. Cast out a scorner and contention shall go out. Yea, strife and reproach will cease. A lot of times a troublemaker is a scorner. He scorns. Some of you folks don't get along with some of your family because some of your family is scornful about the Bible, about the gospel, about the right ways of the Lord, about simple right and wrong. It's amazing to me, you know, I understand people being confused about some things. I don't understand why straight people who call themselves Christians and claim they read the Bible feel a need to defend homosexuality. I don't understand. I don't understand why somebody who has a brain, you know, two brain cells to rub together, you know, can't see from the Bible if they're a Christian. You know, this environmentalism thing is just is cracked. I don't understand why folks can't receive just simple, I mean, simple Bible stuff, simple Bible precepts and tenets with respect to a Christian not drinking. It's just not that hard. But it goes on to say there that a lot of times the reason is because somebody is a scorner. Cast out the scorner, contention shall go out, yea, strife and reproach shall cease. Now again, a couple more verses here. Look in Proverbs 26:21. And where there is strife, there's somebody to kindle strife. A lot of times it is pride. Sometimes it is a contentious pride where somebody just wants to keep the fire going. They just want to keep controversy rolling. Sometimes it's somebody that needs to receive rebuke, reproof, or whatever, and they just will not. Now, in this case, Proverbs chapter 26, verse 21, notice, as coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. Like I said, a lot of folks, you know folks like this, a lot of folks are just interested in fighting. They're just interested in arguing, or just being argumentative. Now, look in Romans chapter 2 for a second, and we'll start wrapping this up here. Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. Verse 8, this is where things start coming together. Now, like I said, that's the reason the Bible says, folks, if you find a brother that is, you know, fallen, messed up, that you go to him in meekness, knowing that you yourself can be tempted. Okay, there's an awful lot that depends upon you having the right kind of spirit when it comes to confronting somebody with something, you know, that needs to be confronted. Lost, saved, close or far, you know, whatever it is. There's a lot that you know, there's a lot that depends upon that. But notice Romans chapter 2 and verse 7. Now, this is talking about folks that are in receipt of the Word of God. It says, verse 7, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath. Now, folks, the problem with the world is not the pride of the Christians. The problem with the world is the pride and contention of the lost folks who are not interested in the truth. Right? I mean, Christians have their trouble, and there are some Christians that are jerks. Everybody understands that. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath. Now look at another couple of things here, and we'll move on to something else. But go back to Proverbs 28 for a second. Proverbs 28. Now he said, only by pride cometh contention. Only by pride cometh contention. Look in chapter 28 and notice verse 4. They that forsake the law praise the wicked. Did you ever notice that's the case? If you were right with God and then you backslide, I know Christians right now that are Bible believers that were doing well at one point, but given an opportunity, they'll now defend social drinking. They'll defend partying. I've known Christians that defended, to a point, homosexuality. You see, folks, when it gets down to it, they that forsake the law praise the wicked. Again, it gets back to faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And what you expose yourself to and listen to is what you eventually kind of conform yourself to. That's why it says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's a constant thing. The transformation, I mean, you get saved on an instant, but as far as the practical transformation of things, that's a constant battle every day. You could be in your Bible once an hour and still face that fight. Be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, right? And it says there, they that forsake the law praise the wicked. If you're not careful, you know, you'll wind up defending something that you used to stand and righteously abhor and hate and stand against, because the issue became that you left the law, and so now you have to become an advocate and a mediator for the world for those that are wrong. More and more today, folks, I mean, seriously, I mean, I get stuff here all the time. I get stuff in the junk mail and stuff by email and all that. And, you know, the mega church movement and the giga church movement and the emerging church movement and the Promise Keeper movement and all those movements, folks, are based in the end pretty much around knocking off all standards of behavior and spirituality for the most part, anything practical anyway. And they are as likely to defend the wicked as they are the righteous. I mean, how often have you, we go street preaching, and, you know, usually there's somebody that pops up, you know, once every two or three times, I suppose, if not more. You know, some old soul, some soul that appreciates hearing the Word of God on the street. But how many more Christians come up and have something negative and derogatory to say? You're doing it wrong, and you're blah, 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 and you're offending these people, and they're really standing in front of the world trying to keep you from preaching to those people. What is that? You've taken on the spirit, you've become conformed to this world. Now look in, Proverbs 28:4, because so far we've just dealt with half the verse. They that forsake the law, praise the wicked. For such as keep the law, contend with them. But such as keep the law, contend with them. Such as keep the law, contend with the wicked. Now, I thought that only by pride cometh contention. Okay, if only by pride cometh contention, are, in this case, they that keep the law, they're contending with the wicked. Are they the prideful ones? Are the ones that are contending against the wicked for what's right, are they the prideful ones? No, they're not. The one that refuses to receive the reproof or the rebuke or the encouragement, whatever you want to call it, the admonition, is the one that's proud, and it's because of them that there is contention. You're doing your duty. You're being an ambassador. You're delivering news your father, your commander told you to deliver. Right? Hey, look at one more passage here, and then we'll be moving on. Look at Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29, verse 9. And it's kind of a sad verse. Most of you have been in conversations like this. If a wise man contend with a foolish man, whether he rage or laugh, there is no rest. Now, you know what? I'm not saying that I deserve to win every argument that I was ever in. Okay? I don't think I'm right all the time and 100% right every time or anything like that. But I know full well that I have sat and spoken to somebody and that I was right. Okay? Did you ever sit and talk until your tongue fell out of your mouth? And you got nowhere. And they didn't want to see it. They weren't interested in seeing it. In the end, for whatever reason, they didn't see it. And we accomplished nothing by however long we sat and talked. Right? But still, and one thing to think about with that is, who's, you know, which one are you? It says there that if a wise man contendeth with a foolish man, whether he rage or laugh, there is no rest. Folks, don't be a fool. Be reasonable. You know, a secular saying is, you know, all good men are reasonable. And that's not Bible, but it's pretty biblical. all good men are reasonable. We ought to be able to sit down and sort through things, right? All right. Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs 13, and go down to verse 10. It says, only by pride. So again, I don't question for a minute that there are prideful preachers, that there are prideful rebukers, okay? But in general, when it comes to the Bible, and in general when it comes to conservative Bible-believing Christianity, it's not the prideful preachers and the prideful witnesses that are the issue. It's the contention comes when somebody won't receive the Word of God and doesn't love the truth. Right? Okay, I'm convinced. Verse 10. But only by pride cometh contention. But with the well-advised, with the well-advised is wisdom. Notice the opposite, or the other side of the knife here. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. You know, you should be well-advised. You should with, look at Proverbs chapter 20 real quick. Just a page or so over. 20:18. Every purpose is established by counsel, with good advice make war. All right, back to verse 10 of Proverbs 13:10. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Okay, wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase. Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished. I always marvel, what happens. You realize how few financial success stories there are with somebody that won the lottery, with somebody that won a big pot, at a casino or whatever. Usually those folks that win, you know, $10, $20, $30, $100 million, their lives are completely shot thereafter, and more often than not, that they still wind up in the poorhouse. It's an amazing thing. I'm sure that there are retired professional athletes that do well and all those sort of things, but what you find so often is that those guys that brought down $200,000, $300,000, and $400,000 a year or more, they themselves wind up in a poorhouse. I think it was, Leon Sphinx that earned in one of his bouts with, I think, Joe Frazier. He earned $4 or $5 million, and this was back, I think, in the 70s, which that money was completely unthinkable, you know, basically then. And within about 5 years, he was tending bar. He had to go barkeeping school and get a job. Everybody sits and thinks, they just abuse it and misuse it. And that's certainly true. And you think, I'm a Christian. Boy, what I could do with $3 million. You know, you probably could, and I hope that you would if you got it. And I hope you're not playing the lottery thinking you might get it. But I tell you, there's something here that you might not be able to control. I mean, you say, I would tithe and pay my bills, send my kids to college, and put away a little nest egg and let it draw interest and just, you know. And that sounds good and all that, but you know, there's something that you maybe haven't thought of. What you maybe haven't thought of is that there's a greater law, something like the law of gravity, that wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished. Maybe you don't have a choice in it. Maybe when you get the big payoff through, you know, whatever, you know, sordid means, you finagle and lie and manipulate family members so that you wind up with grandma's inheritance instead of the rest of the kids or whatever else, and now you're going to use it for righteous means or whatever. You ever stop and think about the fact that maybe you couldn't control whether you kept it or not? Maybe you wind up uninsured in a hospital and get to spend about $1.5 million trying to resolve the issue. You know what I'm saying? Folks, the Lord has all kinds of ways to corner people. It says here in the passage, it says, wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished. Shall be diminished. But he that gathereth by labor shall increase. And one of the things that keeps coming back here in Proverbs over and over is, again, I'm not, you know, I think that Some folks have achieved the American dream, and for that I'm glad, you know, they sock away a bunch of money by the time they're 55 and get a chance to retire. And if you get to do that, I'm glad and all that, if it works for you and all that. But the fact still remains that labor in the Bible and with God is a good thing. And again, we've allowed some of this to creep into our thinking where, you know, we think that wealth gotten by vanity would be the best bet. Again, the lottery or some big payoff somehow or whatever. And yet, wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished. But it goes on to say that, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase. Folks, what you can't get around is the scriptural precept that hard work counts for something. We are supposed to work. Part of the curse was that we should work by the sweat of our brow. Now, I know that maybe some people have jobs here where you don't sweat a lot, but the fact is most everybody here has a job. And very few folks here are making, you know, money hand over fist by, you know, sordid means or whatever. And sometimes we count ourselves to be, misfortunate or some. I don't know that that's true at all. It says here, it says that he that gathereth by labor shall increase. Look in 10:16 real quick. Proverbs 10:16. And again, to just emphasize that the labor of the righteous tendeth to life. It's not, you know, it's the labor that tends to life. Work is good for you. It really is. You say, well, I'm 60 years old and not going to get a chance to retire, and things sure look bad. Well, you know, I don't know what's going to happen either. We all walk by faith and not by sight. But labor is good. It really is. Y'all seem convinced. Proverbs 14:23. Folks, here's a good rule, all right? That which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. What the world thinks, and don't look now, but America's the world. What the world thinks is the best thing is seldom ever the best thing. And it's all so often that, you know, we get, you know, caught up in some trends. I'm not saying anybody's a complete apostate, but you get caught up in thinking in some trends here, you know, where, you know, you think that the doctors just have to be right. They just have to be, and I should just jog right down and get my, you know, H1N1 vaccination. Go pray and go get an H1N1 vaccination if you want to. But just because they say so doesn't mean that's right. It doesn't. They say, well, you know, your kid has to go to college. He does not. And she does not. There are lots of people that didn't go to college that are doing well spiritually. And for that matter, well in life. It's just that it's easy to yield certain aspects of our lives, you know, to the wisdom of the world, as opposed to this. And this is just something simple here. Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished. Whereas that the labor itself is a good thing. Look in Proverbs, 14:23. Proverbs 14:23. In all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. Penury is poverty. The poorhouse. In all labor there is profit. Say, I worked and worked and worked and worked. Didn't get anywhere. Okay. But money's not all there is to that. And this is going to go hard, but it helps your character. I'm sure you appreciate that. But it's true. It's true. In all labor there's profit. All right, back to Proverbs 13. Proverbs 13, wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase. Notice a few things here. It's kind of interesting. Verse 10, by pride. Verse 11, by vanity, by labor. Okay, verse 12, a true statement. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. Girl is just waiting. She knows he's going to pop the question someday. She loves him and he loves her, and she can see it in his eyes. He's going to ask her one day. She thinks it's going to be tonight, but he didn't.
And that goes on for a few months. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, right? You get your heart set on certain, you know, hopes and so on. And the deference of that hope being put off, makes the heart sick. That means that that every Christian sitting here right now, we prayed on Sunday night that the Lord would be back by now, and He's not. Every Christian here should be heart sick, right? We're looking for that blessed hope, hope deferred, blessed hope and glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, right? Every Christian here should be heartsick because your hope was deferred. Unless you weren't really hoping it. Are you heartsick? Verse 12, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. But when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. I mean, when the guy finally does pop the question, when the Lord Jesus Christ really does return, it's the tree of life. All right, back to verse 13, Proverbs 13, 13. Oh, this should be good. 13, 13. Funny about those numbers, huh? I'm leaving. Wow, that's right. Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed. But he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed. Let me show you the first time that despising the word shows up in the Bible. Look at Numbers chapter 15. Numbers chapter 15. The longer I live, the more I realize that you live in a country that despises the Word of God. We are, you know, you can listen, get on conservative radio and listen to conservative political pundits, you know, all day and all night. And a lot of them, basically countenance a lot of biblical things. God is mentioned pretty often, I don't know if you know, Sean Hannity's a Catholic, right? Dennis Prager's a Jew. Glenn Beck's a Mormon. I don't know if you knew that. And all those guys talk about biblical concepts, you know, all the time, and having faith in God and God bless America and, you know, all those things. It's very common. But then at the same time, if you listen closely, what you'll find is that they don't have a biblical worldview or personal view, really, at all. I don't question that they're probably basically morally decent, okay guys. As far as I know, you could leave your 12-year-old daughter in the room with them for an hour or whatever. But that doesn't mean that you've got a biblical worldview. It doesn't mean that there's not parts of the Bible that they don't despise. I mean, do you really think that Sean Hannity doesn't drink at a social occasion? You know what I'm saying? Numbers chapter 15, though, it says, he that despiseth the word shall be destroyed. I believe that we live in a country evermore that despises the word. There's bits and pieces of the Bible that we like. We appreciate it. You know, we follow after, I say we loosely, but Americans these days follow a lot after, you know, Thomas Jefferson's example. Just take scissors to the Bible of the parts you don't like, the parts that you figure don't belong there. Numbers 15, notice verse 30. But the soul that doeth aught presumptuously, whether he be born in the land or a stranger, the same reproacheth the Lord. I know that we're not under law, but when you do something presumptuously, you reproach the Lord. And that soul shall be cut off from among his people. Verse 31. Because he hath despised the word of the Lord and hath broken his commandment, that soul shall be utterly cut off. His iniquity shall be upon him. And I know that's Old Testament as far as somebody, you know, dying in their sins and so on. But still, doing things presumptuously against the Word of God is reproaching God. It's despising God. It's, you know, to the Lord. It's making faces. I mean, it's pretty bad. You can get a 2x4 upside the head. Verse 13. Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed. Well, folks, folks in our country, they do things on a day-to-day basis that the Amorites were destroyed for. The Philistines, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Amorites and the Ammonites, they were run out of the land for some of the things that people in our country do. I told you before, you know, if I go home on Highway 7 up there, go past the turkey farm, and as soon as I pass the turkey farm on the left, there's this guy with a, you know, big barn, raises horses or something there, but he has a little shrine there right by the road, a lighted shrine with a little bush, a couple of bushes, and a bench right there, and it's lighted, you know, a shrine to Mary. It's idolatry. I mean, folks, the Amorites and the Ammonites and the Hittites didn't have worse idols than that. Seriously. All right, verse 13. Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed. But he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. He that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. Here's a question for you. Do you fear? You still in a position where you fear God? Look in Isaiah 66. Isaiah 66. It's easy to give, you know, mouth service, lip service to it, and say you fear God and say you love God and all those things. We get, like I said, that guy wanted me to confess that Jesus Christ has come in flesh, and not realizing that people have confessed things with their mouths for hundreds, thousands of years, and it's meant nothing. Because you can say words, and it's just words. But Isaiah 66, verse 2, I mean, do you fear God, really? Verse 2, for all those things hath mine hand made, he says, and all those things have been, saith the Lord, but to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. The Lord says something, you know, there's not, you don't try to get around it by presuming some things and just seeing if you can find a loophole. It's not, you know, an IRS audit. It's not trying to find some tax loophole. It's God saying something. Look at one more here before we move on. Look at Psalm 119. 119. I found this a few years back. I don't know if you've seen it here recently. 119. You know, they tell us, New Version authors and translators and commentators, they tell us that we don't have to fear God. We revere Him and all that. But, you know, fear is not too kosher these days. But notice something. I've always liked this verse. It says in Psalm 119, verse 38. Psalm 119, 38. Establish thy word unto thy servant, who is devoted to thy fear. Devoted to thy fear. What I'm all about is fearing God, he says. Now, that's not a bad advice. Proverbs 13:13. Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed. But he that heareth or feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. The law of the wise is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. The law of the wise is a fountain of life. That law is a fountain. All too often we look at the law as some sort of curse. We look at the do's and don'ts of the Word of God and try to find some way to do away with them. That's the idea behind the, you know, ultra-Christian liberty movement, where it's just grace, 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 all liberty. And God's displeased, you know, if you have concerns about, you know, outward appearance or, you know, some of your personal standards and those sort of things. It's, you know, that's just Pharisaical to you know, have, you know, high moral standards. Well, folks, that's not true. That can't be true. The law of the wise is a fountain of life. The Bible says that what the Jesus Christ undertakes is a work inside you, And that work is to make its way out on the outside. The outside does count. Everybody knows that somebody can be a hypocrite and a Pharisee, that you can be a hypocrite on the outside, that you can just dress up the outside, but inwardly you're full of ravening and wickedness. Everybody understands that. But that doesn't mean that the outside's to be dismissed. What's supposed to happen is supposed to work from the outside in. That's what's supposed to happen. Verse 14, the law of the wise is the fountain of life, to depart from the snares of death. Verse 15, good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. That's a great verse. Good understanding giveth favor. Everybody wants favor. You want God to favor you. You want God to bless you. In fact, you wouldn't mind if God favored you more than the guy sitting next to you. Got right down to it, right? Well, unless you're husband and wife. That's supposed to be a group deal there. But everybody wants favor. Okay, well, good understanding giveth favor. Okay, what's understanding? Look in Proverbs 9. Proverbs 9, 10. If good understanding giveth favor, then, verse 10, Proverbs 9, 10. If good understanding giveth favor, if God will favor you for having good understanding. Verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We knew that. The knowledge of the holy is understanding. If good understanding giveth favor, then where you need to start with your understanding is a knowledge of the holy, not a knowledge of the unholy. I mean, there's folks that know more trivial pursuit answers than they know Bible answers. The knowledge of the holy, not the knowledge of the unholy, not the knowledge of the worldly. There are folks that can, you know, rattle off, you know, 400 Major League Baseball players' stats, you know, if they love baseball. The knowledge of the holy is understanding. Now, there's another verse that defines understanding, too. Look in Job. Job 28. If good understanding giveth favor, then you need to make sure that you get good understanding. Well, a knowledge of the holy is understanding. Job 28. See, there's going to be a day that you want God to favor you. You know, it's easy to sit healthy and all the food in your belly in a warm place and a soft cushion, sleep in a warm bed and have a good job, and your kids are healthy and all those sort of things, and not have any real manifest needs right now. But every one of us is going to come to a crossroad one day where if God doesn't do something for us, we're going to be in trouble. Maybe it's on a hospital bed somewhere, or maybe it's an answer that we need, or maybe we wind up in an emergency situation with, you know, with a truck axle sitting on our leg or something and freezing cold. You know, and if God doesn't favor you with some special attention, things are going to get real bad. And then what you're going to want is God to favor you. Well, good understanding giveth favor. God favors somebody with good understanding, and a knowledge of the holy is understanding. And Job 28, verse 28. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. A knowledge of the holy is understanding. And to depart from evil is understanding. And if somebody doesn't know God, and if somebody doesn't know the Bible, and if somebody is not interested in doing right, and by doing right I mean departing from evil, he doesn't understand. Doesn't understand. Questions or comments? Brother Steve. Right. Bryce? It's in the Hebrew. It's in the Hebrew.
All right. Let's open a hymn book and sing one more before we go. Let's sing 263. 263.